This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Steve Ray Morris here, and welcome to See Jurassic Right. We're picking up, this is the last, this non-spoiler view is a cliffhanger, and we're back into it. We're talking about Camp Cretaceous Season 2. Again, just a little recap. Jurassic World Camp Cretaceous, you know, sees five kids, Darius, Ben, Yaz, Brooklyn, Kenji, and Sammy going to a, you know, basically they're the test group, the focus group for the focus group for the summer camp, you know, potential summer camp, because not only in, you know, as we see the events of Jurassic World, that, you know, the Indominus is set to open for the summer. There's a couple of delays, but also this camp is set to open during the summer. And so these five kids come together, Darius, who, if you remember from season one, essentially Willy Wonka'd his way into Jurassic World. You know, he's still dealing with the death of his father, but he gets to go live the dream. And then Ben, his parents work at Jurassic World, and they're kind of like, yeah, this will be good for you. And I could totally see sheltered parents like, all right, let's get it. Let's let him, you know, it's like if there was like the ball pit downstairs in the office, you know. And, you know, every once in a while, like, kids will come and forth, but Ben's the old timer, you know, he's been there. Yaz, who is, Yasmina, I love the concept, and it's so funny because this is just a very meta aside, but if you're looking for anything Jurassic Park 3 on eBay, you are constantly presented with these NASCAR frickin' diecast things and NASCAR related trading cards, because JP3 had some weird NASCAR tie-ins. So it just makes me, you know, Yasmina is, you know, she's an athlete. She's sponsored by Jurassic, and it totally makes sense. I mean, the zoos, you know, theme parks are constantly sponsoring people. And that was a little bit of world building that I really love. And like I said in my non-spoiler review, Yasmina really shines in this season, and that was really cool. And then Brooklyn is the vlogger. The word unboxing is said a lot in this season, which I love. But, and I mentioned again in my non-spoiler review that Brooklyn is sort of the most meta textual element of this series, but I think it just, you know, if you're making things in 2021, there's always going to be a metatextual element, you know, that sort of calls attention to itself. But it feels appropriate because, I mean, frankly, I have done, you know, imagine a world where Jurassic World is real. Like, of course, they're going to invite bloggers and influencers. Oh, my. You know, so this is the stuff, you know, anytime people think that kind of stuff is cheesy, well, it's cheesy in the real world, frankly. And I know that, but the way that they handle her, I think, is really great. And Brooklyn is still one of my favorite characters, and they're really, I'm so curious to see what they're going to do with her, because they really, like, is she just going to go full Alex Jones on us, like, with her conspiracies and paranoia? Actually, probably not, because, you know, they sort of confirm a lot of her conspiracies by the end of this season. And then we've got Kenji, who continues to remain likable despite what an ass he is. And I think, I mean, kudos to Ryan Potter, who voices Kenji, for being able to do that, being able to ride that line. And then obviously Sammy Gutierrez, who, you know, ripped straight from Crichton, like I said in my non-spoiler review, you know, basically manipulated into sneaking information out of Jurassic World to Manticore. And again, I'll start with kind of my big thought, which is season two, Camp Cretaceous season one is to Jurassic Park as Camp Cretaceous season two is to Lost World. And I mean that like in a very literal way. You just heard me slam my pencil down. There, I literally have almost like 20 individual notes regarding Lost World references to, you know, Lost World references in this season. And so, you know, Camp Cretaceous season two picks up right where season one left off. It, you know, something has survived, you know, is the name of the game here. And yeah, they just have to try to, you know, they get abandoned at the end of the first season and they're like, fuck, what do we do? And it sees them going, you know, sort of, you know, sort of try, you know, how we all think we would want to survive in Jurassic World, you know, and, yeah, it's, you know, I think in a lot, I'm having a lot of simultaneous thoughts right now. And, I forget who said it. I think it was maybe Brad Jost, from the Jurassic Park podcast, but it's like, or maybe Clayton said this. I don't know. Maybe everyone said it. I love you guys. But you know, there is a moment because again, it's like, okay, like Jurassic World just broke down. There is a whole empty hotel. There is restaurants. There's, you know, there's all this stuff. It's not going to be hard to survive in the sense that, like, it's not like it's decades after, you know, imagine if Jurassic Park had, you know, or Jurassic Park did break down, but imagine if somebody came to an island with Jurassic Park broken down. Well, there's not going to be that much food left. Like, there's not going to be that much supplies. Jurassic World is like freshly abandoned. And, you know, there, at least, you know, I think sometimes people get frustrated with shows, but like, you know, their first instinct, well, of course, go to Main Street. Like, that's where the biz is going to be. But as we see throughout the season with the reintroduction of Rexy and she's building her nest on Main Street. So it's like, you know, that's what the first couple episodes of this season really are, is like, no, I can't. Well, no. Okay. Well, we got to go there. And then sort of layering a couple mysteries. And then again, you know, this is the spoiler review. We get the introduction of dinosaur eco-terrorists. Eco-tourists who become eco-terrorists. You know, these poachers as played by Bradley Whitford, Stephanie Beatrice, and Angus Sampson, which such a great new trio of voice actors to add to this. Sorry, this is all over the place so far, but that's what you come to these reviews for. So anyway, you know, they're just trying to figure out how to survive. They're trying, you know, because, they basically like, okay, we got to activate a signal. It's so interesting. You know what? This is how I'm going to approach this, because if you went into season two thinking it was going to answer any questions from season one, you're wrong. Sorry. Because they don't. And that's what's so interesting about this season, because it is truly the Lost World of this friend, you know, of this series so far. It, just like how the original Lost World truly just goes off on its own. It's, you know, it must have been so shocking. And I guess I was there, so I don't, but I was a kid, so I was just excited to see dinosaurs. But I mean, you know, if you were thinking about these sorts of things, to watch Jurassic Park, you know, they fly away at the end, and then Lost World opens up, new island. Well, nothing's taught, like the original Jurassic Park Island's not talked about at all. Grant and Ellie are nowhere to be seen. Malcolm is like a, you know, a lobotomized version of the Malcolm we saw in Jurassic Park, which, fair. You just barely survived an encounter with dinosaurs and saw people get eaten. But you know, season two really sidesteps so much of season one. There's no, you know, what did I say? As far as like, I got pages and pages of notes, you know, no mention of, you know, the rescue situation, from season one? Like, did the boats turn around? Are they still heading to the mainland? I'm sure they made it to the mainland. The timeline is a little wonky in season one or in season two. The timeline is not wonky at all in season one, which I think, again, as I mentioned in my non-spoiler review, is, you know, to the benefit of season one. But, you know, nothing. Manticore is not here. Dave and Roxy, original rescue crew. You get glimpses of Blue, you know, all that stuff. You know, who was Birthday Eddie talking about? You know, none of that stuff is really talked about here. Instead, season two is really, you know, as I mentioned, morality play. It's the big questions that they asked in The Lost World, you know, and Fallen Kingdom too, you know. Do these dinosaurs have rights? Saving the herbivores versus saving the predators, all that good stuff. You know, the hubris of man, you know, is man really the real monster? All that good stuff, you know, with the introduction of the poachers and having them sort of be bizarro universe versions of Grant and Ellie, the evil, evil Grant and evil Ellie, and all that good stuff. And yeah, season two is just like a weird, it's a weirder, darker, meaner show. Like, everyone, you know, and season two isn't necessarily about the characters growing or changing. It's, you know, season one, we get introduced to these characters. We see their sort of big struggles. And now it's just about making those struggles work within the confines of trying to survive. And so, I mentioned, again, in the non-spoiler review, that this is really the Age of Ultron. We're in Age of Ultron territory, where it's, because again, it's like, you're on this team and you just got to make things work. And, you know, I just find it interesting that, like, Sammy's sort of whole thing isn't really talked about this season, because what's the point? They're all stuck together. And so there's just a lot of, like, grown up ways, and I say grown up, I mean just like real world ways of the way people, like, nobody is just continuing, like, growing and changing. It's like we are just a product of what we need to be doing at any given moment. And so I really like that this season added so many new complications and so many new threads for us to grab, you know. And I will start with a few things that I love. I love that we didn't get to see Ben and Bumpy, you know, their survival until later in the season. And I never thought we would do a whole episode with them. And I love that episode so much. It's that thing of, like, this kid has sort of had this background knowledge of Jurassic his whole life, even though he's been a big scaredy cat. But, you know, after being left behind, it's like, well, either he's going to just die or he's going to become the biggest badass. And so obviously they weren't just going to let Ben curl up in a field and die. So I definitely prefer the route that they went. And yes, this season feels a little cartoonier. It's unmoored again by the timeline and events of Jurassic World. And I think we could have a little fun here. And obviously there maybe could have been ways that were presented less cartoony, but I don't know. It's fine for me. I think the great thing about season one is that it surpassed everyone's expectations. It was this perfect, compact little movie telling the story about, you know, if the Oompa Loompas, if Willy Wonka broke down and Oompa Loompas started to eat the tourists, like, that's season one of Camp Cretaceous. Season two is just this meditative, sad, fight for survival. I mean, Darius and Kenji are, like, both very kind of traumatized about letting Ben die in their mind. And, you know, Darius still thinks about his father. And then he's presented with, like, oh my God, these people who present themselves as, like, just wanting to take photos of dinosaurs. Like, you gotta think season two, again, this element, and it's funny because it just makes me think of, like, the alternate version of JP3 we could have had, where instead of Grant being afraid of going back to the island, he actually goes on his own and he's, like, become obsessed. And so they really took a page from that for Darius in this season, where, like, after they, after survival, you know, after they've kind of figured out the lay of the land and, you know, they've rebuilt Camp Cretaceous, it's like, okay, Darius is like, well, now I'm going to work on my book. Now I'm going to just enjoy the beauty and majesty of this place. And then he's given, you know, these two people who claim to sort of like love dinosaurs as much as him. It's like, okay, well, maybe this is better than my shitty life at home where my dad is dead and like nobody appreciates me. Like I could like, I like that there's this false hope for a moment of Darius of sort of like thriving here. Well, I mean, not even false, but I mean, you know, it's that disappointment of the, you know, the humans. And again, I like that there's this bi-level, you know, disappointment of the humans where it's like for Darius, not only are these people actually trying to, you know, kill the like, you know, they're not just hunters and poachers. They're like, they tried to be his friend, you know, and they used him for information. And I feel like people haven't talked about that enough. It's like, that's so devastating. Yeah. I really like that about that. I really like that about this season. And, you know, I mean, Mitch and Tiff are the most unlikable characters since William H. Macy and Tay Leone's, Amanda and Paul Kirby, Paul and Amanda Kirby. But I mean, I think that's intentional. And, you know, this season just had a lot of weird stuff. I mentioned, you know, Brooklyn's paranoia and, you know, what's the E750. That's sort of the new question. Like, what else has Wu been cooking up in that lab? And, you know, they don't answer that this season, but they sort of just allude to maybe another hybrid or something like that. But, you know, again, this season doesn't really answer any questions, but it still poses new ones, you know. Again, I'm trying to think, like, is Kenji's dad going to be somebody? I mean, not somebody like we know from the franchise, but just like, what is his role in Jurassic? You know, we get introduced to this gray Ceratosaurus. You know, the Baryonyxes end up on the boat at the end of season two after they kill Tiff. I don't know. There's just a lot going on at the end of this season. But in my non-spoiler review, season two is a TV show. And, you know, it's blowing the world wide open. And it's this is my thinking. I don't think the kids are going to get off the island till the show ends. I mean, how would you do Camp Cretaceous without them being on the island? You would have to do the time jump to Fallen Kingdom. But I mean, I feel like that could be served in a, I don't know. I was talking to Tom Fishman about maybe they could do the Digimon model, the original Digimon Adventures. You know, they're on an island and then they get off and then something happens and it's like there's a whole thing. But so I could see them doing that, but I also don't see them doing that now. Dominion has been delayed a year. So unless they were going to time jump, you know, eventually and have the kids be off the island and deal with dinosaurs in the real world. But, you know, that's not where this show is now. You know, I mean, maybe if they were to start setting that stuff up in like season three. But I think what's really cool is just people living with dinosaurs, just showing. And maybe that's where the show is going, is just sort of presenting a coexisting model of dinosaurs and humans that can work. Because, frankly, like the kid at the end of season two, like, I could see them just chilling. Like Ben has gone full Tom Hanks Castaway. You know, everyone is capable. There's still plenty of food and water and all that stuff. Like, honestly, I could see them just being like, well, do we have to leave right away? Like, what if, oh my gosh, what if, and I also wrote a page of like season three and beyond ideas, but like, what if they start to uncover, you know, some sort of grand conspiracy as far as like mills and, you know, stuff like that, you know, selling the dinosaurs and the Indoraptor and all that stuff. Like, what if instead the next season becomes, we're about to uncover this mystery and now people are trying to rescue us, but it's like, no, we're trying to tell you something's going on. The biggest thing that Brooklyn's character or like her journey reminded me of was Harry Potter's the Half-Blood Prince, that season's journey of where, if you remember Half-Blood Prince, that season or that book, you know, in Harry Potter, you know, each book represents a year. And you know, there's just chaos that happens every year. You know, the fifth year is Umbridge, and, you know, the Basilisk and Chamber of Secrets and, you know, all that stuff. But season six, or God, I keep saying them as seasons. Book six was sort of relatively calm for most of that year because it was building up, you know, to Deathly Hallows and sort of Voldemort's literal return. So season six had a very paranoid Harry Potter and nobody was listening to him. And I really got those vibes with Brooklyn this season. And so, but what if it expands to the rest of the crew where it's this idea, it's like we're uncovering a mystery, you know, first presented by Birthday Eddie in season one. You know, of who Wu is really working for, you know, nobody has any idea what's going on here, you know, all that good stuff. And what if that culminates in the kids knowing something, that, you know, is going to be the key to all this. Maybe it's even more extending, not even up to the events of Fallen Kingdom, but maybe up to the events of Dominion and Biosyn and all that stuff. And so right now, like this is, I mean, this is just fresh thoughts coming right now. Because I've been sitting with this, you know, now for like a week. But what if Camp Cretaceous ultimately builds to the kids knowing stuff that, you know, is essential for Dominion? And so the idea, so like, so that they are more comfortable there because they've sort of created an ecosystem that has allowed them to thrive on the island. So now it's the opposite, where it's like, you know, the show so far has been like, we got to get off the island. But now it's like, no, don't take us away. We're about to uncover this mystery, Scoob.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So anyway, those are some thoughts. But again, it's like, as far as, you know, thinking about this as a spoiler review, you know, season two is part of a larger tapestry. It doesn't have the benefit of, you know, sort of being the timeline of Jurassic World, as I mentioned so far, and everything like that. But and so for you, you know, your mileage may vary. I love the, you know, I just want to talk about the dinosaurs for a minute. I love the Baryonyx this season. I love the gray Ceratosaurus. I love seeing the watering hole, all that stuff. I mean, the image of the berries like all curled up together is one of the most iconic Jurassic images, period. I think they really spent a lot of time focusing on just really getting to know the dinosaurs and getting to know the tapestry of the world this season. And, you know, this perfectly ties into my Lost World connections, you know, the idea of characters going through ruinous environments, being stranded. This season also had a lot in common with the Lost World TV show, with the Lost World book as well, too. I mean, essentially the plot of the Lost World novel is at some point they have to call for help, and but then they end up just finding a boat at the end. Or, you know, they're waiting for help, but the help never comes, so they have to find a boat. And we get a T-Rex nest. And whereas Camp Cretaceous season one really focused on sort of reintroducing Fallen Kingdom dinosaurs like the Sinoceratops and the Carnotaurus into the Jurassic World environment, so that, you know, because we didn't see a lot of Fallen Kingdom dinosaurs introduced, but they were there during the events of Jurassic World. I really loved season one for that, of like, okay, where was the Sinoceratops? Where was the Carnotaurus? And not so much in like, where are they, but sort of just creating a fuller, richer Jurassic World. Whereas this season really kind of focused on a lot of lost world dinosaurs. I mean, again, Rexy being a much bigger star this season, you know, at the beginning and the end. And then also really having a lot of Compsognathus moments. We got Pizza Compy. The Stegosaurs really were given a lot of time to shine. Parasaurolophus. So, like, again, this season just textually just had so many Lost World notes. You know, we got the long grass. We got freeing dinosaurs from cages. I cannot tell you how much I love the whole, like, wanting to free the Baryonyx, you know, when they were freeing the Sinoceratops and the Stegosaurs. I loved all that good stuff. Again, like, you know, this season also had tons of shades of the Fallen Kingdom Save the Dinosaurs stuff, which to me, that's why I love Fallen Kingdom so much, because I'm just such a sucker for that. Like, you know, free the dinosaurs, save the dinosaurs. And again, like the Lost World, we got all like the hunting and poacher like angle as well too. You know, Hap was like such a great character. You know, I you wanted more time with him because I love his turn. I love this idea. I mean, there are people like that. And, you know, the hunter with the heart of gold, which, you know, the Roland Tembo model of things. I would say, what did I say about, I said something about Hap somewhere, but like, you know, he's an even nicer, or he's an even more noble version of Roland Tembo. Like, Hap as if Roland Tembo had sacrificed himself to save like Kelly and Sarah and Malcolm, you know, and Nick Van Owen. You know, if Roland Tembo had done that in Lost World, that would have been Hap. We literally get this is what I said, a bad seeming good guy. We even got our high hide with Camp Cretaceous being rebuilt. We have a character on their own again, like the beginning of the Lost World was Sarah Harding sort of doing her own thing, or in the Lost World book, Richard Levine, with Ben on their own. Obviously, again, like Ben was much more of a castaway kind of adventure, but still the same sort of beats or feelings. Mentions of geothermal power, a little bit more herbivore based action with the Stegosaurus fighting and stuff like that. We literally get a motorcycle scene through boulders, which was in the Lost World book. And, again, hunters trying to get the buck, or well, not a buck, but a male, a buck only. Well, not in Camp Cretaceous season 2. They're just trying to go after Rexy. You know, and again, it's this idea of like, you know, what rights do the dinosaurs have? We literally get a shock prod, obviously that was in season 1 as well too, but, and the notion of humans tricking, or, you know, of the kids tricking a dinosaur into killing one of the humans, like with, Mitch. So, I don't know, man. I really love season 2. Just to even talk about it now, it makes me want to rewatch it again. It's just, yeah, it's, I mean, even this review, is all over the place, but that's because season 2 is, you know, because there's no propulsive thing. It's, you know, each episode is sort of its own beast, you know? And I mean, once Mitch and Tiff get introduced, it definitely starts to pick up the pace a little bit more, and sort of the focus on rescuing, the dinosaurs and rescuing Darius from them. But again, it's just, it's kind of dealing with its own rules. I mean, even the characters, like, which they call out Mitch and Tiff, it's like, wait, you said 2 days that the boat's coming, but now you're saying 3 days. So there's just a lot more mind games going on, with season 3 or season 2, because it's sort of laying pieces out for a season 3 and beyond. My favorite line in the show, in this season was Ben being, it really feels like we aren't getting enough out of the Mosasaurus, guys, which just made me laugh so much. I mean, the Mosasaurus sequence in season 1 is one of the best. Again, another amazing Jurassic sequence. And it is funny that they did not use the Mosasaurus at all this season. It makes sense. I mean, again, the problem with Jurassic all the time is, which dinosaurs do you use, when, how, and you're always pressured to always reuse the same dinosaurs, but at the same time you want to make things, you know, different. And again, my real final thoughts on this is that Camp Cretaceous season 2 is The Lost World, in the very sense that it is very much refuting a lot of the feeling, vibe, pace, and even dinosaurs of season one. And, you know, when Lost World came out, a lot of people didn't like it. You know, Lost World's, you know, a lot of people, it's Jurassic Park, Lost World. Not for me, sister. And I struggle with this because I'm somebody who has been very critical of The Lost World. And as somebody who, I mean, it might be Spielberg's worst movie other than like 1941. You know, it's just a funky, weird, moody little brother to season one's, you know, track star, Pokemon Master, Pokemon Champion. But I don't know. I think, I mean, again, I obviously love all the Jurassic movies, but the lens at which we are presented a lot of these Lost World elements in Camp Cretaceous 2, Camp Cretaceous Season 2, you know, it presents the best things that I liked about The Lost World, I guess I should say. And so to me, it just feels like, again, like I just like when I post, like when I was like writing all these notes and I like posted a picture of it, I was like, I gotta tag Clayton because like Clayton like loves Lost World. And, you know, and it's that thing of like, we look at the nostalgia and there's so much nostalgia for Jurassic Park. All right. Jurassic Park again. We got it. Oh, kitchen scene. You know, life finds a way, whatever. But like, I kind of love that this season was sort of like, no, but Lost World, you know, for a lot of people, just bang my chair. For a lot of people growing up, you know, and I can't remember a lot of people. I think Megan Baker, who I originally interviewed like way back, you know, during the season one of See Jurassic, right? But for a lot of people, Jurassic Park and Lost World were sort of two halves of the same, you know, pie, growing up. You know, you didn't have Jurassic Park and then Lost World. It was Jurassic Park and Lost World were sort of just, you know, part one and part two, a very strange part two, but part two nonetheless. And so I really love that this season was nostalgic for the Lost World. And yeah, it's just interesting. It's just really interesting. And there was some Jurassic Park 3 elements again with like Mitch and Tiff, but eh. Yeah, it's interesting to see, because that's always the thing, and I've talked about this once, or, you know, a couple times before, but I'm so curious to know what Colin and Emily think of Jurassic Park 3, because I think by now, again, we've entered the era of, with Fallen Kingdom, we are in the era of Lost World appreciation. You know, that movie really was like a more exciting, dramatic version of Lost World. And, you know, Camp Cretaceous season two really doubles down on the Lost Worldness of it all. You know, so I'm like, are we going to enter a season? Are we going to enter a phase of where everything's very Jurassic Park 3? Like, I don't know, but yeah, I think, you know, what would have made this better is if they had really brought back the Mementiosaurus. I, you know, and that was rumored for a while. Maybe we'll get that in season three, but you know, again, Camp Cretaceous, we're going to be here for a while. So I think season two really was like, strap in. You know, we're not going to give you all the answers. We're not going to spoon feed you. We're going to just sort of, it's just weird living on an island with dinosaurs. And so we're going to try and figure it out. Yeah. So that's my Camp Cretaceous season two review. I hope you enjoyed it. It was very strange, but, very fun. And, you know, I'm glad I waited a week to review it, because when I watched it, I just was like, there's just so much. It's just a lot of little things to parse through. And again, I probably didn't get to it all. I would love to do more, you know, more discussions about Camp Cretaceous season two. It's, you know, I mean, I'm glad we, no, well, I really like the weekly, you know, Mandalorian WandaVision model. You know, it's unfortunate that Camp Cretaceous, the whole season drops. You watch it in one night like I did, and then you sort of like, okay, well, I have to watch it again because it was all a blur. So I don't know. Let me know. Would you prefer Camp Cretaceous to be on the sort of week to week model? Or do you think it is even justified? You know, I mean, WandaVision has been so spectacular. It's like you need a week to process what you just watched. I don't know if that's quite the same for Camp Cretaceous, but they're all really good. And I think Camp Cretaceous in general, I think certain episodes were better than others. Like, I think season one just got better as it went along, and it just is such a propulsive, beautiful, you know, piece. But season two just has so much more promise, and it just has a lot of really great ideas and cool concepts and great moments. I mean, all the Baryonyx motorcycle stuff was just so thrilling. You know, Rexy's nest and all that was great. All the underground, going back underground again, was really cool. The watering hole and all that majesty was really awesome. And yeah. So yeah, let me know what you thought of season two. Let me know if you've rewatched it a bunch. I felt like season one, I didn't need to rewatch as much right away, because I felt like it was just very clear. But season two definitely requires more pondering and thinking, you know, ooh, ah, you know, that's where it always starts. But then later there's running and screaming. So thanks everyone for listening. Let me know what you thought. SJRPod on Twitter, See Jurassic Right on Instagram, See Jurassic Right Facebook group. I love you all, and I'll see you very soon.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.